In today's episode, I want to talk about how I was introduced to C.S. Lewis. I want to talk about some people who were important to him in introducing him to Christianity, and maybe most importantly, what all of that has to do with you. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, senior pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. We took last week off, so it's good to be back. I hope this finds you well. And for today's episode, I have on my mind someone I've talked a whole lot about, I'm sure many times here and many other places, so much so that it's become a little bit of a laugh line at St. Philip the Deacon. But I want to say a couple words about C.S. Lewis today. For a couple reasons. One, Pastor Michaela Dahleen preached a sermon this past weekend in which she quoted C.S. Lewis. I will commend that sermon to you if you're interested in listening to it. She lifted a quote from Mere Christianity. That's a very important one. I won't spoil that for you now. But anyway, that got me thinking about it. And then we are taping this on a Wednesday morning. It'll come out on Friday. But this morning, I actually attended one of our men's ongoing study groups, which recently finished reading Mere Christianity, and knowing my own interest and passion for all things C.S. Lewis, they invited me to join them, and so I spent the morning, or an hour this morning, talking about C.S. Lewis and his works, and maybe particularly Mere Christianity. And in that conversation, one question that was asked of me was actually a question that I don't recall being asked in the past, and it struck me that it might be worth commenting on here. And the question was, well, Pat, it was literally that we had sort of introductory comments, and we, you know, said good morning, and the organizer did a few logistical things. And then the very first question was, well, Pastor Tim, how did you get so interested in C.S. Lewis? And so I told this story, which I'm now going to tell to you. You may recall that I, backing up a little before C.S. Lewis, I spent the first decade of my life in a totally different professional field in communications and public relations. Then I took a break from that and went to graduate school at Notre Dame to study theology with no thought that I was going to become a pastor one day. That set me on a trajectory of ultimately going to seminary. I sort of started to sense this call to ministry. And here I am now at seminary. And I was in the library back in the, I don't know if students still go to libraries or not, but when we would call them the stacks, so the stacks, you know, the shelves and shelves of books. And I was looking for, I don't know what book I was looking for, but instead of that book, what I found was this tiny little book. I'm sure I've talked about this before. It is genuinely, physically, it's one of the smallest volumes in my library. It's called Fern Seed and Elephants and Other Essays on Christianity. And something, I don't know what, about this book, I don't know if it was the name, I don't know if it was the fact that it was by C.S. Lewis, who I was sort of vaguely familiar with, but I certainly didn't know his work intimately or well, made this sort of volume leap off the shelf. And I remember taking it home, and I read through it, and I was struck, I guess would be one way to say it, blown away by a couple of the essays in particular. One is called Membership. The other is the title this volume takes its name from, Fern Seed and Elephants. And I returned the book, and then I found myself going back and checking it out again, and returned it and checked it out again. And I checked it out multiple times, and turns out I still have it. So that was literally, I had heard about C.S. Lewis before then. I knew a little bit about the Narnia Chronicles, but this tiny little volume was what sent me on what has become a lifelong, love affair with him as an author and Christian guide and mentor and conversation partner. Again, I have many authors, I've talked about many of them, who are important to me, but C.S. Lewis easily would be in the top two or three, and he might very well rise to the level of number one for me. So that was how I was introduced to him, and again, it just set me down this path of continuing to learn about him. And it strikes me that there's a parallel there With C.S. Lewis's own life, you may recall, and so here I'm looking at his autobiography, Surprised by Joy. You may recall that Lewis himself started his certainly his adult life and his young teenage years as an atheist, a very kind of aggressive and I would say even an angry atheist. He fought in World War I, and while he was recovering after an injury in World War I, in a similar way, it feels to me like me stumbling onto this volume of C.S. Lewis, he tells the story of how he's in a hospital, and it says, he writes, "It was here that I first read a volume of Chesterton's." Now here he's talking about G.K. Chesterton, who is another hugely important author for me. "So it was here that I first read a volume of Chesterton's essays." Again, this is C.S. Lewis writing. "I had never heard of him and had no idea of what he stood for, nor can I quite understand why he made such an immediate conquest of me." And then he said, he goes on, "In reading Chesterton, as in reading another author, George MacDonald, I did not know what I was letting myself in for. A young man who wishes to remain a sound atheist cannot be too careful of his reading. There are traps everywhere. God is, if I may say it, very unscrupulous." Right? So here he is talking about this as God sort of dropping things into his life. G.K. Chesterton, George MacDonald, who have something to say to him, who have something to teach him, right? And later, again, in the same autobiography in the chapter called Checkmate, and he's reflecting on this in the past tense, but he's realizing, he comes to realize eventually that there are all these authors that he ends up becoming acquainted with, and he finds them to be powerful and meaningful and important and thoughtful, with one exception across the board for all of them. They have this little problem that they're all Christian, you know? And then there are other authors who he's less over time impressed by, even though they share his worldview, okay? So I'll just read a little of what he's talking about. "All of the books were beginning to turn against me. Indeed, I must have been as blind as a bat not to have seen long before the ludicrous contradiction between my theory of life as an atheist and my actual experience as a reader." And so here he ticks off a few of these authors who are Christian. "George MacDonald had done more to me than any other writer. Of course, it was a pity. He had that bee in his bonnet about Christianity, right? So he thinks, he was amazing. He taught me so much, except he had this little thing called Christianity. He was good in spite of it," he says. "Chesterton had more sense than all the other moderns put together, barring, of course, his Christianity. Johnson was one of the few authors whom I felt I could trust utterly. Curiously enough, he had the same kink. Spencer and Milton, by a strange coincidence, had it too." All of these authors, he goes on to say, were had this common connection of being Christian. And then he says this, "On the other hand, those writers who did not suffer from religion and with whom in theory my sympathy ought to have been complete, atheists, Shaw, Wells, Mill, Gibbon, Voltaire, all seemed a little thin, what as boys we called tinny. It wasn't that I didn't like them. They were all entertaining, but hardly more. There seemed to be no depth in them. They were too simple. The roughness and density of life did not appear in their books." And then the last thing I'll quote here, making the same point, he says, "But the most alarming of all was George Herbert. Here was a man who seemed to me to excel all the authors I had ever read in conveying the very quality of life as we actually live it from moment to moment. But the wretched fellow, instead of doing it all directly, insisted on mediating it through what I would still have called the Christian mythology." Okay? So again, I hope this point is clear. In his own conversion to Christianity, Lewis encounters again and again people who are guides on the way, authors who can direct him, who can teach him, who can help him understand what it means to be human. And each and every one of them, he discovers that as he's drawn to them, that they had this strange quirk or kink of being Christian. And it's only later, of course, that he realizes maybe that kink, maybe that curious thing that they had in common with one another was precisely what he was being drawn to, and precisely what was making him realize who he really was as a child of God. Now, to bring this to a close, the simple point I want to make is, again, this book leapt off the shelf for me. G.K. Chesterton and other authors presented themselves to C.S. Lewis. I believe deeply that each and every one of us, in ways we will never understand or appreciate, when we are touched by God's love, have the ability to touch other people's lives as well. And so my invitation to you today isn't really even to try to do that, but if nothing else, it's to simply revel again in and receive the love that God is always inviting to you, and trust that in some ways you will never perhaps know in your lifetime, you yourself will be one of these books for someone else. I hope that makes sense. It's good to be back with you as always. And until next time, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.